I'll be up there with you. Sanctuary for you. Singing unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Yes, Lord, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living with you. Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I thought we had visitors out here, and they're not visitors, are they? Good to see you, brother, sister. Yeah. If you'd like turning your scripture, turn to Daniel 9, and we'll read a few verses. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Now, when I finish, if I get through this, I'll try to this afternoon. I may be a little lengthy now. I said, I'm sorry if I run over a little bit. Forgive me. And I'll try not to. If I see it's going too far, I'll just cut it off and start Wednesday. But, you know, whatever. We want to try to get something in for understanding purposes. But just remember to pray one for another. And if we don't get, if we can get it all in by Wednesday night, we'll try to have questions and answers, comments or something on this topic of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And but remember now, we requested this morning, there's Sister Clark, maybe Wade and June remembers there in Jamaica, that had a little boy to go to Brother Brady's, I'm pretty sure. And they had a car wreck, and the little boy was killed in the wreck. So remember the family. And also remember Brother Baldwin now, as he, you know, he's through his operation and all, but he needs prayer for strength and courage to move on and, you know, and everything. And just pray for Danny, the Lord willing, they're going to try to let him come home about Tuesday. So we're trying to get all schedules made to where we can go over and somebody can sit with him, because he's going to have somebody with him at home and be there with him at all times, you know, to help take care of him. He's doing real good. As a matter of fact, he's doing more than he ought to be doing, because he's already getting up. He's done that a couple of times himself, to get up and, you know, by himself. And all. And he's been able to walk, you know, with the walkers and everything naturally, but he's not able to put any weight on that foot. It won't be for 2 or 3 months, but he can at least get about. So just, you know, keep praying for him, that the Lord would help him and guide him. I know it's a trying time, because I would hate to be laying there for a month myself. Now, it's been 1 month yesterday, and I would really hate that too. But just pray for him. Keep holding him up. All right, Daniel 9, we'll read 20 through 27. Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask you now that you would just come and lead us into what to say, because, Father, we've felt kind of led to do this for a while, to kind of make just a little introduction in, to what has been taught by the prophet and things, and to where that maybe we can help understand a little, and then if it gets lengthy, we can bear with and kind of understand. But forgive our sins, Father, and guide us, and bless each and every one. Bless your people. We're so glad to be associated with the part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And just have your way now, and teach us to wait upon you. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts in love, in Jesus' name. Daniel 9, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mount of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to bring in and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be set 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come, Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured up on the desolate. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, we gave out, or they didn't give them out, I thought to, maybe they would, but we've got a lot of quotes, a lot of things to be said. I don't intend to try to preach these series over, but, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand what's being said. And I preached on this in 1974, and then I preached it again on 2004, and we have the tapes. If anybody wants them, they're available, and a lot of people on the internet are picking those up. And what we're going to try to do is put this in on the things of the 70 weeks, and you know, let it be kind of like an introduction, because even like I am, as slow as I am, and I'm sorry, but Brother Joseph has done a wonderful job. He put on that we have been releasing. He placed upon there the where Brother Branham had preached the three parts, you know, the introduction and the sixfold purpose and then the Daniel 70 weeks. So they've got that to check out what's being said. All right? And I know it's hard to do on the quotes, because that there's about three or four different printings now, not different books, but, you know, put out. You know, it's three or four different printings by different people that's been put out by Brother Mamelis, the Old Spoken Word, you know, and all of that. They put out as many different books, and I've checked them as much as I could back yonder, and I found out that all of the paragraphs are the same. They did use that form of the paragraphs, but you can't go by the page number. So then I don't choose to give the page numbers, because you'll get confusing. You get one book, another book, and it's different, see. But go by the paragraph number, and it'll stay the same for you to understand. But like I say, and see, I preached, I think it was 20 services on the Daniel 70 weeks there in 2004. And in preaching that, I know people get a thing and they look at it and they look at a MP3 and it's 20 services, an hour and a half, you know, to each service or something. And they get kind of discouraged when they first start listening. And when they do, you know, they'll cut it off and won't finish the rest. Well, I want to try to do this as a kind of an introductory, or as a form to encourage the people of what's on there. And see, a lot of people will get it and they'll see down there and they'll say, oh yeah, I want to run down here and get the last service. And when they do, they don't know what in the world that I'm talking about. And they've accused me of saying things on there. I heard one just not too long ago that was said, you know, that I had said something that I didn't say. And if I did, it would have naturally been a slip of the tongue, but you know, that's all right. I can't judge that, and I can't determine that, and I'm not trying to be nobody on the field to be the final authority, you know. I'm just trying to help the body of Christ here in Lula, Georgia, and anyone else out there that is listening, to be able to be more instructed, you know, in the kingdom of God. That's all my goal is, because it doesn't make, I don't get one dime more for preaching than I do for not preaching. You know, I get the same pay if I don't preach, and these other brothers preach. I get the same pay. So don't, it's not something that I'm trying to do, and it's certainly not a following because I haven't been too good at getting that. I want to just try to be instructive and, try to get some things in to kind of click the mind of the people to where that they will go on and listen to the other services, because I know I'm slow in preaching it. I'm like Brother Moat was one time. He preached the Stature of a Perfect Man. He took 65 services. Well, this one brother came through, and he said, "Why, I preached it an hour and a half." You know, well, that's, I'm not saying that they wouldn't much understanding give, but in comparison, I believe it would have been a little bit more material given anyway. But, see, I want you to think about these things. Now, you say, is the Daniel 70 weeks important? See, that's what a lot of people say is. And you go about the country asking the people, and they'll say, "Well, I don't know what it is. I don't understand it." And then they'll say it this way: "You don't understand it." Well, now that's incorrect. They shouldn't say that. Like I said about Billy Graham, he said the Godhead had not been revealed. He should have said, "As far as I'm concerned." See, because we know it has been. But see, you know, that was his point. Well, that was his statement. It was all right as long as he said, "As far as I'm concerned." You know. But see, I believe it's been revealed, and I believe it is so important unto you until I gave you a copy of what the prophet had to say. And I want to read that to start with. And it's the last sheet of the notes that I gave you. And I'm sorry about this being so many to give you, but at least you can read some things the prophet had to say. But this is off of paragraph 71 of Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. Preached in 61, 7:30 in morning service. Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is connected with the 70 of weeks. Therefore, we must stop and explain before we go any further. We must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks. Because if you don't, you'll miss the seals. You'll miss those trumpets. You'll miss those vials, those plagues, those three unclean spirits like frogs. Those three woes, the casting out of the red dragon, the woman and the sun, you'll miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right here in this 70th week. That's where it takes place. Right. Now, that's your prophet, because he said you'd miss it. He said you'd miss the seals. When he got into the seals message, he said, "You see how important it was to get the 70 weeks out of the way that we can go on now." All right. Now, like I say, people know all about the seals. They can tell you all about the seals, but don't know nothing about Daniel 70 weeks. Now, I'm just honest. I try to be straight with you, if you would with me. The prophet said you can't know what the seals are without knowing the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, that's his words. Well, Brother Dale, you shouldn't. I'm sorry, I found it. You get upset with me that I found where the prophet said it. You know, I just want to try to do and lead and go on with this church, and I'm not trying to do anything around the world. I'm just trying to be honest and straight. But I want you to understand, and then what we're going to do is attach this to the front of what we send out on the when people request the 70 weeks, and even to the ones that have already gotten it, we'll send them an instructive, MP3 to where they can do it. But he said you can't understand the seals without understanding Daniel 70 weeks. All right. Now, to me, the most important thing of all of understanding anything in the Bible is one thing. That Brother Branham was a prophet. And that there is no such coming of another prophet to straighten him out. He was the prophet. He was God's mouthpiece. We are quick to read and quote those. Meaning that God literally used a man's lips to speak to a bride to bring what we call the message. All right? And in doing that, then all of our dependence has got to be upon what he said. And irregardless of what we think, we must lay down all of our thoughts. We'll cover a few of those throughout a little bit of the introduction, but, we've got to lay down everything to take what he said. And like the brother said that time, that the, the Lord spoke to him, and he wanted to ask Brother Brown some questions on marriage and divorce. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, are you going to take your thoughts, or are you going to take what my prophet said? All right. Now, the man was lucky that God would do that. Right? Because a lot of people, God would never speak to that away. But he was honored to be able to say that the Lord told him that. All right. Being God's mouthpiece, then we must lay down our thoughts. No matter what's been taught to you previously, or what your understanding is of something that you thought was revelation, we laid down the thoughts of the Trinity, didn't we? You understand? I'm saying the whole message. Not just Daniel 70 weeks, the seals, the marriage and divorce, the everything is totally dependent upon whether Brother Branham was God's prophet or not. And if we believe he was, then we don't have to look for something else. And I've been studying it now since 1966, and I've found nothing wrong with it yet. And, you know, I just leave it that way. But this Daniel 70 weeks has been a great, it's been a subject that has been, or caused many splits in the believers of the message. There are people that are arguing and they split over it, and they will not even talk to each other and different things. One group believing there's 3.5 years left to the Jews after the rapture. Another group believing there's 7 years of earthly time. Now, I stated that the way I wanted it. Earthly time, 365 and a fourth days to a year. People think there's 7 years of 365 and a fourth days to the year to be left after the rapture. Some, you know, counting the 7 years of the 365 and a fourth. Others think there's only 3.5 years, and they don't even know. Go to the book of Daniel. Go to the book of Revelation. When God turns back to dealing with Israel, he is not dealing in 365 and a fourth days to a year. Your Bible says that. 1260 days. He's dealing with 30 days to the month. I don't care what your calendar says. You understand me? Your calendar will say, yeah, but we're in, sure we are, Laodicea, we're here. We're living 365 and a fourth days, you know, because of the leap year that comes upon us. We're living that out. But God's time, when he turns to the Jews, will go to 360 days to the year to make it 1,260 days for the time, all right? To make it to where you can understand. That's one thing that's not thought of by the people of the message. They just, 365. So I stated it the way I wanted it to. There's not 7 years of earthly time after the rapture, 365 and a fourth days to the year. It will not work. Right. You've got to go to the prophet. You've got to go to the Bible. Amen. All right. Now, I've proved at length, and this is why we're putting it here, I've proved at length that Brother Branham never did. He did not believe what the denominations taught. The denominations taught that there will be a 7 years tribulation. You probably never paid no attention then, just like you're sitting now and probably won't now. Some of you on the internet and things sitting out there listening, you won't pay no attention to what somebody says because you didn't pay no attention then. You didn't even know they taught 3.5 years and 3.5 years or whatever. But I did. We taught 7 years tribulation. Most basic, as a matter of fact, I've never run across a denominational church yet that believed anything other than a 7-year tribulation. Now, they vary up and down about interpretations of that. But the denominations teach that there's 7 years tribulation. They say there's what is called 3.5 years of minor tribulation, and there's 3.5 years of what is called the great tribulation or major tribulation. That's your denominational teaching. And that's what a lot of people think Brother Branham taught when he said there's 1 week after the rapture. And that's what they thought he taught. But he did not teach that because he plainly, emphatically said, Amen. The bride does not go through the tribulation. Major or minor. The only tribulation we have is a tribulation that worketh patience. And that's not the wrath of God, because tribulation, period, is the wrath of God poured out. It is not just your daily tribulation of life. All right. See, the denominations teach, that the church, or bride, as we want to call it, we say, they use the word church. They teach that the church, bride, will be here during the first 3.5 years of what they call the minor tribulation, and that then the church, bride, will be taken up, and then they will be 3.5 years of major tribulation, making the 7 years. Now, that's what they teach. Go check. I like to do that with Brother Dick, because he'll go ask him. He'll get somebody cornered up and ask him something, and he'll come out and say, well, Brother Dale, you're right. Well, go and check it, because that's what they teach. And that's what a lot of people think Brother Branham taught when he said, and we've got the quotes laying here before us, where he said there's 1 week left after the rapture. But he never taught the denominational teachings, you know, of the tribulation and things. He taught 3.5 years of tribulation is all that there is to be left after the rapture of the bride. All right. Now, the prophet proved by scriptures that the bride would not go through any tribulation other than the tribulation that worketh patience, which is a daily life. See, Enoch went up in the rapture, proving the church, the bride, will miss the tribulation. Noah represented the foolish virgins and stuff like that. He rode over the ark, in the ark, and came back down, representing the nominal church or foolish virgins. All right. Now, so the bride misses the tribulation, but the church will go through the tribulation. That's why Brother Branham is misunderstood when he's stating that. He'll say the church won't go through the tribulation. Then a little bit he said the church is going through the tribulation. Well, read what he's saying. He's explaining it. He doesn't use maybe bride all the time. All right. Now, see, the reason we miss the tribulation is because the bride is purified by the new birth. The word is brought unto her to cleanse her, washing by the water of the word. And the Bible says in Revelation 19 that the bride hath made herself ready. Who? By walking in the word that they have. All right, now, here is the problem that has confused most of the people of this end time. The prophet said there is there was only 3.5 years of the tribulation period, not 7 years. He said 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Show me one place he ever said there's 7 years of tribulation. No, he didn't say it. There's 3.5 years of tribulation. Won't fit your Bible. You got to get in Daniel to find out. He covered that Jesus had 7 years of ministry to be to the Jewish nation of Israel, which was 1 week. Right. He covered that Jesus preached 3.5 years back there in his first coming, and that there would be 3.5 years of ministry by the two prophets of Revelation 11, making the 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Never nowhere did he teach that there was 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ after the rapture. Show me the quotes. Show me where he taught it. See? All right. He taught there'd be 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ after we go out of here. Okay. All right. Neither did he ever teach 7 years of earthly time after the rapture. 365 1/4 days. He didn't teach that. Show me. You said, well, there's 1 week left. That 1 week is 360 days, 30 days to the month. You got to get it back correct. Won't fit Bible nor the prophet. All right. Now, read Daniel and read Revelation, where it's over in the tribulation that it's showing you. And it covers you 30 days to the month, because God goes back to perfect order in his dealings. The world is still is out of order, but in the millennium, the world will fall back into order. And in the millennium, the world will be running 360 days to the year in perfect order of 30 days to the month, being 12 months. All right. But on the message of the 70 weeks of Daniel, he said there would be 1 week or 7 years after the rapture of the bride. Now watch what I'm getting at. You know from the studies in the message of the 70 weeks of Daniel that Brother Branham covers 483 years to Israel, you know, up to the Messiah. And then he covers the Messiah as to when he would be crucified. And even gives you April the 2nd, AD 30, then, as fitting it. But you cannot fit that with 365 and a fourth days. He used 360 days to the year to place that. He never used 365 and a fourth because it won't come out mathematically. Then, all the way through. God doesn't deal in our time. And the only time element that he ever used was the 30 days to the month. He doesn't use our time. That's why you can't figure out nothing in the Gentile dispensation. That's why you can't know when the rapture would come, etc. Because you're figuring one calendar, he's in another calendar. And they done changed our calendars about three times since Daniel started. And I remember going through that to show the people. At one time they put 200 days in a month, in a year. To throw the solar systems back in line. You know, it's all there on the message if you'll just listen. But now let's read some of these, because that's where people argue about it, whether they's 3.5 years or whether they's 7 years or whether they's what. So what? Let's read what he says. And then you must go from there. Because this is just an introductory to the part. Now listen to him. Paragraph 105. Of the 70 weeks of Daniel, priest 610806. Now we find out that down through these ages, we had the Holy Spirit come in, and then God back in the beginning began to tell then at the rejection of Christ. God showed John exactly what would take place during the Gentile reign. Now you haven't got any limited time with the Jews, but we got a sign. We got a sign post. Well, God did with the Jews just exactly what he said he would do in them 69 years or 483 years, but 69 weeks, and 1 week left, 1 week's yet determined. All right. So he said it's a week yet determined. All right, go on. Paragraph 118, same message. All right. He talks about coming down to the Pentecostal. If you will, I'll read what I got underlined. You read the whole paragraph. See? And then I can move faster. The last few words of the paragraph 118, he said, where did the Messiah get cut off? Exactly where the word said. Where will that 70th week begin? Exactly after this church is cut off, then God returns to the Jews. Right. Paragraph 162, same message. Now, when's God going to start this last week? When? It may be today. It may be before the sun sets tonight. God will declare it. See? Still looking at that one. There's that 1 week left. Paragraph 165 of the same message. And in the middle of this, the 70. Now these exact were 7 years, each one of the weeks. And we've already had 69 weeks. Then we have the Gentile age. And we know we're at the end of the Gentile age. Then there's one more week left for the Jew. Is that right? And that's exactly 7 years. If this was 7 years, that's 7 years. Because he said, there are 70 weeks determined upon thy people. So we know we've got 7 years for the Jews. Is that true? Now look at it. If there's a question, I want to know it, see. And in the middle, now watch how specific your prophet brings. And in the middle of the week, what, this 70th week, the middle of this Jewish week, that's 3.5 years, the Antichrist, the prince that is to come, and remember, he comes out of Rome. So what's going to happen? He's going to break his covenant. The Antichrist breaks his covenant 3.5 years after the rapture of the bride. Okay? Time's got to continue on after then. See, we'll get in the book of Daniel in a minute. Paragraph 167, same message. These are all on the 70 weeks of Daniel. See, he makes a covenant. Right in the middle of the paragraph. And in the midst of the 70th week, he breaks. The Antichrist breaks his covenant with the Jews. We're at in the midst of the 70th week. Right. Paragraph 170. He's talking about the two prophets and the beast and all. And he says, he'll break his covenant with them after 3.5 years. He allows them. The people think it's communism. No, no. Paragraph 215. Watch these three prophets, or these two prophets, when they raise up here. And in the middle of the week, they're cut off like that, and then starts the battle of Armageddon. Then God begins to speak himself. He places Armageddon He places there 1 week after, 7 years, and in the midst of that, because now I got one in a minute and we'll get down to it, Satan tries to type after Christ, right? Now, he's not a type of Christ. No, he types after Christ. See, Jesus rode in on a white donkey. Satan jumped on a white horse. Right? Because he knew the saints was coming on a white horse. See? He tries to type after Christ. So, Daniel 9:27 is not God making a covenant with Israel. He's done made his covenant. That's the Antichrist covenant, where he breaks his in the midst of the week. Because, see, Satan knows the argument about this 7 years, 3.5. He knows that. So he's quick to jump on. He's going to make an earthly covenant with people. And in the midst of that 3.5 year, midst of that 7 years, which is 3.5, he's going to come in there and stand in that temple and declare himself to be God. Then Armageddon's going to strike, because you're in the tribulation. All right. Paragraph 221. He's talking about the 3.5 years, rather, of Revelation 11. You'll read. See, how many is it? Now, he's talking about the two witnesses. They'll prophesy 1,260 days. How many is it? 1,260 days. 3.5 years. See, that's Daniel and Revelation. Both says 1,260 days. 3.5 years. 60 days to the doing. All right. And then they shall be killed in the street, right in the midst of this 70th week. So you see where the 70 weeks of Daniel are. You see where we're living at. All right. Paragraph 173 of the Daniel 70 weeks. Now, after that 70th week, here are the 70th week. This goes on during this 70th week. And the three in the middle of it, he breaks it because he kills those two prophets. Paragraph 178, last wordings on it. He breaks his covenant in the middle of the week. See, that's where Satan does. He makes his covenant and he breaks his covenant. God never made a covenant and broke it. He didn't make a covenant with Israel and break it. He just made a break in the covenant. You see the difference? He made a break in the covenant where he was. He held his covenant with them for 490 years up to Calvary of Jesus Christ. Then there was a break or a time or a gap between it and the life that comes. All right? See, then that's where it comes out to. Paragraph 191 of the same message. The last paragraph there, you'll see it. I wish we could listen quietly now just for a moment. The moment he starts the 70th week or 7 years, the church is gone. Now look at that and read it. Read with me on that. Notice I'm quoting again, requoting, so you won't forget. This is what the Holy Spirit put upon my pen while I was writing. Now you go argue with him. Right. Oh, yes, but Brother Dale, is this with it? Well, okay. Paragraph 212. Write down at the last three sentences, lines on there. You read the rest of it in between. And here we are at the end of the age, at the coming in of the 70th week. We don't know what time that the church will be gone. Oh my, what can we do, friends? Where are we at? There's the one, the next one. Our hope is God, preached in 1951:9:29. Of course, we know that the devil has patterns and types of everything that God has. Everything that Satan has is secondarily that he patterns off of God. All right? Now, here's the key to understand the 70 weeks of Daniel in any form. Paragraph 49, 70 weeks of Daniel, 1961-808. We know that the scriptures cannot lie. They have to be truth. And if this angel Gabriel had come and told Daniel that there was 70 weeks left of the Jews, and we would apply that to 6 days or 7 day week, you remember in the book how he went? He said, you can't go. He said, that would only just been so many hundred years. Watch it. But in prophecy, it's always give in parables. You remember Jesus said he never spake unless he spake in parables. The entire Bible is parables. The 70 weeks is parables. The seals is parables. Marriage and divorce is parables. And no eternal hell is a parable. Because you've got scriptures that sound like they're contrary to it. But when you're telling a parable is a story told with an underlying meaning that seems to be different. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And he's telling them about corn. He's telling them about somebody buying some land. He's telling a parable. And after, but they finally got it. Because what he was doing underneath, he was talking about them. See, then the 70 weeks of Daniel go straight across to Israel, which is only a parable or a type, an allegory, to drop down and bring in the Gentile dispensation of the bride of Christ. Well, see, when he puts her back together, there's not going to be. All right. He gets on the sixfold purpose, which is preached in 61:7-31, which is 15 on your notes. But look in the scripture that he's given. He's talking about 70 weeks is just determined. That's all that's allotted to the Jews. Do you know why there's 70 weeks? Why is there not 72, 39, 20, 40? Why is it that it's 70 weeks? Now, each week the prophet has covered equals 7 years, right? So he brought it to the 490 years. He brought it out to 490 years. But why is it 490 years? Why is it not 50? You remember when Jesus was asked the question? Said, now, so-and-so's done a lot against us. Said, shall we forgive him? Seven times? That's in Matthew. I'll give you the scripture in just a minute. They said, seven times? What did Jesus say? 70 times 7. How much is 70 times 7? 490 years. 490 times. Because that is the plan of salvation. That is redemption. Forgive a man 490 times. Because I'm going to forgive you, Israel, 490 times. Not that. I'm going to give you 490 years. He gave them up to 483 up to Calvary. He quit dealing with them at Calvary. Sure, there's a little overflows and different things happen. But then he comes in the end time to give that last week to them because he promised it. See? All right? Now, I gave you the quotes down through there, and I'll try to hurry through this part of it especially. Because to me, the key to understand the Daniel 70 weeks, as I said, is that it's a parable. All right? But then it's the thing to help you understand is read the sixfold purpose. Oh, we just read it. We read the sixfold purpose. What is it? To finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make reconciliation of iniquity. Bring in everlasting righteousness. Seal up the vision, prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Sixfold purpose. Brother Branham put a whole message on the sixfold purpose, telling what each one of those things were. And it's on the internet back there, so I don't have to, you know, they can read it off if anybody's doing it. So when he goes through it, he talks about making a transgression is wrong. Number 16 on your notes. He's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Then all Israel will be born again. All of them will receive the Holy Ghost. That's going to be after the rapture, right? So where's it going to be in? The 70th week. In the 70th week, he's going to make an end of transgressions. All right. That's what I'm trying to prove the point right now. See? To make an end of sin, paragraph number 17 on your thing, paragraph 59, that was paragraph 51, sixfold purpose. Paragraph 59, But when they see him, when he comes again, it will make an end of their unbelief. When are they going to see him?
Right.
In the tribulation after the rapture. Agree?
Amen.
All right. Go on down to paragraph 78, number 18 on your notes. And he's talking about he's blinded them for us to have a change. All right? And when he did, see, but when he comes to them again, sin of Israel will be over. Paragraph 81, number 19 on your notes. He's talking about the siege of Israel and a different thing. This is almost to the millennium, fixing to start the millennium right now. And he talks about pouring out upon the house of David, because that's when God is going to turn to Israel in the tribulation. So each one of these, make an end of sin, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision, the prophecy. Read the message. He tells you where it's going to take place. Look at number 20 on your notes. Sixfold purpose. 61, 731, paragraph 85. In this 70th year of Daniel, 70th week, rather, coming to make an end of sin, put it away. You understand now? What's the first? To finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity. You who's writing it down, see? He's covering that all these sixfold purposes happening after the rapture of the bride in what is known as the 70th week of Daniel. All right. But watch it keep moving now. Because I said Brother Branham never taught 7 years of earthly time after the rapture. But Brother Dale, you just read us quotes where it's 7 years after the rapture. That's not earthly time. That's 360 days to the year, 30 days to the month. That is not 365 and a fourth days to the month. He's not dealing that away with Israel. He goes back to the prophetic. Prophetic calendar is 30 days to the month. See, when you go into the tribulation, they're only getting 1,260 days. Which is 3.5 years. According to Daniel, you get time, times, which is time is one, times is two. Put them together and what you got? 3.5 times, so you got 3.5. That's your Bible. Time, times. See, 1, 2, and that's 3.5 times. That's 3.5 years. That's the book of Daniel. All right? And once. Number 21, sixfold purpose, paragraph 94. And as soon as Zion saw that was their Messiah, she was born again in one day. Where's that going to happen? In the 70th week. There shouldn't be any argument up to that part, should there? To bring in everlasting righteousness. Now we're going to get touchy for a little bit. To bring in everlasting righteousness, you're going to have to agree that all of the sixfold purpose takes place after the rapture. If it takes place after the rapture, it's got to be in the 70th week. All right? Now, look where he puts it when he covers this one. Paragraph 98, sixfold purpose. Bring in everlasting righteousness. Satan in the bottomless pit, and when he does that, he seals up the devil which has deceived the people. Now, where does he bring in everlasting righteousness? When is Satan bound? Come on, you Bible studiers, when is Satan bound? In the millennium. He's bound, the Bible said in Revelation, for 1,000 years. That we can rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So now he's got the everlasting righteousness already in the millennium. Paragraph 108. Seal up the vision and prophecy. But you can't understand it until the end time. The end time. What is the end time? The end of the 70th week. When that prince, Antichrist, will be revealed at this time, making himself God. Now, we know right where that takes place, but where's he placing the seal up the vision? Where's it all sealed up at? When we get in the millennium. What is the last of the sixfold purpose? To anoint the most holy. All right? Now, paragraph 116. to anoint the most holy. 24 in your notes. This is not the anointing of a man, because Jesus is already anointed. But we're at the end time. He's to anoint the most holy. What is the most holy? To my way of seeing it, which I believe I can prove it by the scriptures, is to anoint the most holy, which will be the tabernacle that will be used during the millennium. See, now your cogwheels turn. Why do we need a tabernacle? Why do we need a tabernacle? See, that's what your human mind is. That's the reason I stopped, because it'll click right there. Tabernacle in the millennium. The prophet goes right on down. Listen to him. Paragraph 119, that's 118. 116 through 118 connects together. 119. Watch. Description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Now, any reader that knows from Ezekiel to the 40th chapter until the 44th chapter is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. Now, he gave you scripture. Now, you're going to argue with him because you're previously taught your thoughts. Why do we need a temple? What do we need a temple for? We're in the millennium. But just notice, he never covered you going back to sacrifices. He's got a temple being built. Go read your Bible. Jesus is our sacrifice. But there will be a millennium temple erected on earth. Before we get back. Before we get here. All right. You say, well, what do you need a millennial temple for? See, this is all covered in the series that I preached. Encourage you to listen. Why would you need a temple in the millennium? Is it not that the prophet said there would be a gospel to the heathen in the millennium? Did he teach that? Did he teach that at least 144,000 would be in the millennium? And the bride would be there on the honeymoon and we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years over the heathen and all the thing. And the 144,000 will be eunuchs to the bride? Is that the way the prophet taught it? If it's not, check and call, find it, send it to me and show me it's different. I'll be glad to give you all of the quotes that I just said. Why not have a temple? But no way, no daily sacrifices. They're over with. That's just like your 144,000. Israel, when we leave out of here in the rapture, Israel will go back to a daily sacrifice of animals. They're trying to get the red heifer now. Israel as a nation will go back to the daily sacrifice, but the 144,000 won't. They'll know who their sacrifice is. They mourn. Not for killing him, but for a re-killing of times, the mourning. They know they rejected their Messiah. What do you need a temple for then, Brother Dick? How easier could it be to explain who Jesus is than to look at the temple and tell that gospel to the heathen, could tell them, say, you see the temple? All of this represented Christ. This represented Christ. This represented Christ. This represented Christ. You remember Paul? They told Paul one day, said, Paul, we know, this is in the book of Acts, we know that, Paul, that you're honorable and you try to keep the law in there. And said, we heard you're trying to do away with the law. He said, no, I'm not trying to do away with the law. I'm not trying to do away with all of these things. I'm trying to show you what they mean. Come on, read the book of Acts. Paul shaved his head. Paul made a vow with the others. Shaved his head. And he went in there with them. But he never made no sacrifice. Come on. Because Paul knew better than make that daily sacrifice. Because that was the sacrifice was the thing that went after the vow that was made. When they made the vows and the things in there, then they did. They would go in and make a sacrifice. And Paul wouldn't do it. And the devil knowed it, so he didn't let Paul get there. The devil run. Go in the book of Acts and read. The devil went in there and stopped Paul from going because Paul wouldn't have made no daily sacrifice. Paul would have told them what the sacrifice was and how it was Jesus Christ. See, it wouldn't have been something that he'd went in there and made a sacrifice. No. Them two witnesses in that 144,000 will not go to daily sacrifice. They'll know who their sacrifice is. But then the temple is used in the millennium to show all of the things is finished. Show that all of the temple, all of the things that God said for him to build. Why has the millennium come about anyway? To prove that the sin curse is gone. Because nobody's ever lived 1,000 years. Methuselah made 969. Nobody's ever lived because it told him the day you eat thereof. To Eve and Adam, right? The day you die. They died in less than 1,000 years. Methuselah never made it. But somebody's going to live 1,000 years. To prove the sin curse is gone. Why not use the temple then? But then when you go to the future home, Brother Brown said there's a lot in the millennium but won't be in the future home. I ain't got time to get there because that'd be too much, all right? But listen, what is that anointing? Let's see, what do we get? Let's go to paragraph 126. All right, 126, which is number 26 on your notes. He's talking about the anointing. He's talking about the temple, how Zerubbabel dedicated the temple after it was rebuilt. But it wasn't re-anointed and things like that. But watch this now. Here's something that's going to be. When this temple in the millennium is built, it will be anointed. Not just re-anointed. Why? Because there's never been one like this one. Solomon and all his building of the things and Moses with them, they ain't going to compare with this temple. Watch. And it goes on this till this very time. But when God sets up the millennium tabernacle, he will anoint the most holy, not thy holy, but the most holy. But when the king takes his throne for 1,000 years glory, she's over there. The anointing of the most holy will be the last thing take place. The anointing of the most holy. All right. Paragraph 127. Keep right on reading. When the tabernacle is erected, the resurrection has come, the Jews has returned, Christ and his bride has come, the Jew, the 144,000 are sealed, the millennium has taken place, then there will be an anointing when the most holy place will be anointed, the holiest of holies, the most holy. The most holy place is a sanctuary where God lived between the cherubims. And this time Christ will sit in the most holy place with the anointing upon him. All right, listen. Paragraph 130, the last sentence of the thing, says, this is during the time of the millennium when the most holy is anointed. I know I'm going through mighty fast, but then he covers 124 paragraph 124 gave a sixfold purpose. And watch. God came into sanctuary. That's number 29 on your notes. God came into sanctuary that was to be anointed and was given over to him for the people to come to worship. So to anoint not thy holy place, but to anoint the most holy place. And we notice that New Jerusalem, now don't get confused there, see? Your mind will run. New Jerusalem, that's future home. New Jerusalem is in the millennium. Then New Jerusalem is the future home. Don't get confused. Brother Branham will even use the scripture of where that God may be all in all. And he'll say, that's the millennium. And right in the same book, he says, and that's the future home. Same scripture. Just because it says New Jerusalem, don't run all the way over. We notice that New Jerusalem is the most holy place. And the anointing will be upon the New Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven. Now, this is not no millennium temple. It's down here on earth. This New Jerusalem is coming from heaven. Watch. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the anointing will be upon them. That's the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven into the millennium. The anointing is on them. We are the anointing to the temple that's in the millennium. That's what I don't understand to people. Watch, let's get this one or two more to read, and then we'll quit on reading. Paragraph 133, sixfold purpose. And after this, the bride appears. After the 70 weeks, The bride appears in Revelations, the 19th chapter, the 1 first and the 16th verse. She arrives with her bridegroom, the mighty king. I don't know whether we're going to get it all or just... Let's just read part of this anyhow. Here's where the bride will come after this. After the millennium sets in, then Christ comes back with the bride, right? 1 to 16 in the 19th chapter. All right, get the last one. Paragraph 134, just keep right on reading. What was it? His people had to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God to live and to reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. The appearing with the mighty king to take her place at his side. The new royal anointed temple, the sixfold purpose of Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is fulfilled. See, that's where people can't understand, though. Well, Brother Branham, is it 3.5 or 7? Then the big man, you know, one of them got up and he said, well, it's 3.5 and 7, that makes 10.5. Now, I'd have kept my mouth shut. Because you don't make mockeries out of the gospel. I remember quoting a certain scripture to a brother one time, and I admit I was using it wrong, because where it says a double-minded man is unstable in his ways, and that's when that two-soul doctrine was going around, the original says a two-soul man is unstable in his ways. Go get your original Greek. I got it back there. You can read it. I quoted that to a brother, and he said, Brother Dale, don't use scripture like that. I had to repent, because I admit I was using it to show that the man, a two-soul man was unstable in his ways, but I was using it wrong, and I repented. You don't use scripture wrong. You keep it right. Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is fulfilled in the millennium when we come riding back with him, not to build a temple. We don't come back to build a temple. We're on a honeymoon. Come on. The bride is on a honeymoon coming back, and everything is already ready. But when she comes in with him into the millennium, the 144,000 is there. They done built a tabernacle. They done got everything ready. We're there on a honeymoon. But when we come back in there, it's thought so much of us till the prophet gives you scripture to show that the bride is the last thing that takes place when she lands on earth. She is the anointing to the temple. Why? Because the anointing is on her. See, that's why people, they argue over 3.5 or 7 and never look at the plan of redemption. The Daniel 70 weeks shows you the plan of redemption. 490 years, the plan of redemption to Israel. What puts Israel in the millennium is the same thing that will put you and I in the millennium, which is the plan of redemption. Amen. That's all I've ever taught. Brother Branham never taught 7 years of earthly time after the rapture of our earthly 365 and a fourth. No, he didn't. He covered it as the right time. Go to Daniel now. Daniel 12. We'll try to finish up with this part. Ain't going to be as long as I thought, so I'm all right. Maybe this will be a short introduction. But I'll make sure to make statements in just a second to where you won't misunderstand what I'm saying. Look at Daniel 12, verse 10 while you're turning. And many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Listen. 1,290 days. 1,260 days is 30 days to a year. So he's already proving there that there'll be 30 days after the 3.5 years. See, we think 3.5 years. Brother Brown said God was even still dealing with some with Israel until the A.D. 70 when Titus come in. You want that quote? Listen. But listen what he said. All right, now that's 30 days. But blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. 1,305 and 30 days. 1,260 days would leave you 40 there, and 30 and 5 on the other would leave you 75 days. time goes on past the 3.5 years of the tribulation that we thought we knowed what the prophet said, your Bible says it does. It's not an abrupt end of something. There's a connection. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you, so listen. The reason there is 1 week after the rapture is because that 1 week is promised to Israel. Jesus fulfilled 483 years of that back there. He only preached 3.5 years. He will only preach 3.5 over here. There is no such thing as 7 years of earthly ministry of Jesus Christ after the rapture. No, the prophet never taught it. Neither have I. All right. There is no such thing as seven years of earthly time. 365 1/4. It's not there. It falls back to 360. See, to show you that we don't understand what we're doing. And then when it does, you've got to have something to take. That's why I was using the sixfold purpose when he covered the last three as being in the millennium. To bring in everlasting righteousness is in the millennium. Seal up the vision to be done in the millennium. All be over. And then to anoint the most holy is in the millennium. So then you got to have the 400, ever what you do with Brother Brown's message, and ever how you take it, whatever, you got to connect time to the millennium. But you see, there's 1 week of God's time, not man's time, but it's only 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then you go into Armageddon. And from Armageddon, you got a purging of the earth. And from the purging of the earth, you got a millennial reign to start. And you got a millennium temple to be erected on earth. Then we come riding back in Revelation 19. I taught that in 1974, and I'm still there today. Because everything I've told you today, I taught it there. Go back and check it. We still have the tapes. But you see, that's where people, they just get 3.5 or 7, 3.5 or 7. They don't even get the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption is God gives them 490 years because he said, forgive them 70 times 7. And we get the plan of salvation. Forgiven not just 70 times 7, but forgiven by even before the world. Come on, he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's just an introduction to encourage you that there is things on there, but you'll have to listen because it took 20 sermons for me to preach it. To try to get each one of them in place. Don't get dull upon the basis of listening to preaching. Listen to what's said, because that's what I was saying. There are 7 years of God's time after the rapture, but his time ties time to the millennium. The millennium is still time. Come on, folks. Because the millennium is the seventh day. I don't care what you think about we done passed into the year 2000. You're dealing with 365 1/4. You're dealing with that. You're not dealing with God's calendar. God knows exactly what it is and where we're supposed to be. But it's in the Word. But if you and I don't get out of here in the rapture by the plan of redemption, there won't be no 144,000 come in over there. But you see, people don't study the message and they think I'm a smart aleck because I can read. Go to your Bible and read how that there's 144,000 over in Revelation to be called out after the rapture, right? And in that, Dan and Ephraim's missing because they went out of the golden caves. Joseph and Levi's put in. But read what your prophet said. When it comes back to the millennial reign, that Dan and Ephraim is put back in because to them it says forgiven won't be forgiven under heaven. They're put back in the millennium. What happens to the other 24,000 that's took out? What happens to the 24,000 that's took out to put Dan and Ephraim back in? See, people don't even know what they're talking about, Bibles or whatever. And they call, oh, yeah, you're just a smart aleck. But listen, church. It stands from 74 until 2004. In 2004, I preached and I still stand here today asking you out there on the internet or anywhere this goes, come and show me where I'm wrong. Oh, you're only teaching the same thing that Jackson taught. Bring him and let's see. He's dead now. I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have mentioned his name. But see, that's the only man that I ever did hear even preached about it. You know, everybody else said, we don't understand the 70 weeks. I don't understand it, and you don't understand it. Just don't say you don't understand it. Just say, I don't understand it. But when you say, I don't understand it, automatically the first quote I read to you, Brother Branham said, if you don't understand Daniel's 70 weeks, you can't understand the seals. But yet everybody knows all about the seals. Right? See, that's what I faced in 1974, and that's what I still face as being a smart aleck. God, if I could just get it to you to see. God has to have an answer somewhere. Come and show me if I'm wrong. I'll pay your way. From overseas or underseas. Come and show me I'm wrong because I want to be right. Because I'm dealing with a portion here of the bride of Christ, then I'm responsible for you. But at least we hadn't played around with these silly little things. You don't understand and I don't understand. You don't know what you're talking about and I don't either. Because we ain't prophets. Nobody claimed to be. We done had one. We've done had a prophet to come and give us that. I even read you there where Brother Brown said, this is what the Holy Spirit put on my pen. It's like I told you, I was sitting over there in South Carolina one time when I was supposed to speak on this Daniel 70-week subject. They invited me to come and speak. I made one statement and they all got to going haywire. I said, let's go eat dinner. We quit. I never did try to go back or nothing. I didn't have no problems with them. The statement I made, Brother Branham was a prophet. And whatever we got to do, we got to believe what he said. They all hollered amen. I said, okay. And I even gave one where Brother Branham said, it's thus saith the Lord, that the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen until 1921. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. And I gave him the quote from it. So I had a long string of before the seal and after the seal where he said that. Go to Feast of the Trumpets and see if that, I believe that's the one that's in. But yet the big man in the message said, there's so many slips of the tongues in Feast of the Trumpets that you can't understand what Brother Brown's talking about. No, he already said, I can't understand what Brother Brown's talking about. Well, Brother Brown said it was thus saith the Lord all the way through. But you see, that man's all over the world is quoted and honored as the great Aaron to lead us through. But listen, when I got through there for a moment, those, I said, that's the way it goes. Revelation 4:1 to 19:21 is not to the bride. Well, what about 10:7? I said, what about 10:7? I said, don't the prophet of Revelation 10:7 also go to Israel, not Brother Branham, but the prophet, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why Revelation 10:7 is placed where it's at. Time, it has no connection of time. What about 18:4? They said. I said, what about it? The scripture says, come out of her, my people. It's speaking to Israel. Because right. 144,000 got to come out of that. Right. But it's also speaking to me and you. Right. Why? Because we understand all the scripture. Right. He told Abraham, said, I withhold anything from Abraham, seeing that he's the heir of all things. Right. Read your Bible. God come down and showed Abraham the end all the way through. Just like he showed Daniel the beginning and the end of the Gentiles. Church, that's why you cry and pray and seek God and pour your heart out to try to find something for the people. And they don't want it. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. But you see one thing about it. We get on that other side. But now listen, let me tell you, when we get on that other side, Brother Dale won't look down on you and make fun of you. Brother Dale won't say, all right, Dick, I tried my best to tell you. No. I said, Dick, I tried my best to help you. And God was the only one that could reveal it to anybody. Brother Branham couldn't reveal the 70 weeks of Daniel to us or anybody. Brother Harris told me when he first contacted me about it, he said, Brother Dale, draw it out for me. Show it to me. I said, can't do it. He was bumfuzzled. I said, I can't do it. I said, God's got to reveal it. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal the Word, not me. Brother Branham couldn't reveal nothing to you. That's what people say. Oh, we got the message. We got the revelation. You got the letters on the page. But you see, church, the 70 weeks of Daniel covers the entire journey of Israel. And they wind up in the millennium. The ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you one more on the parable and we'll quit. I hope it's still on the tape. Is it, Josh? Are we still on the first one? All right, I'll try to hurry. Typing, parables. 490 years to Israel is a type of the 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Right? Because that's where it fits, the 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Which one do we get, the first half or the last half? We don't get the first half and the last half. We get the ministry. We know what's going to happen to them before it ever happens to them. You say, yeah, but the last half is judgment. That's one thing about it. You go out of here today and you laugh and you make fun of what God has revealed, you're judged already. So don't be concerned about the first half and the last half. We get the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because we're the antitype of all the types. Israel was a type of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The ministry of Jesus Christ is now a type of the ministry that's in the bride of Jesus Christ. Because it's the same ministry He had while on earth. Not in one man anymore, but in the bride of Christ all the way around the world. The sixfold purpose, the prophet said, from Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is fulfilled. And the bride will be in the millennium. Let's stand. Come on, brother. I hope I got it on where it won't. Okay. All right. We got it on one tape. That's good. I thought it would be different. But now if you got questions about it, I know I talk fast, and I got to talk fast to try to get it on there, and maybe the people listen to it. You got questions. You hear, I answer your questions. I won't answer questions out on the internet. But I will do this. Any of you on the internet that see me wrong, come, and I will pay your way to my house and your expenses to be there to where we can talk about the Word of the Lord. What else can I offer? What else could I offer, Sister Gail? I offer to pay expenses for anybody around the world to come to my home and let's sit down and talk on the 70 weeks of Daniel, but I will not argue with nobody about it. We always say that it takes two sides to argue. They ain't two sides to the Bible. I don't care how thin you cut a piece of meat, there's two sides to it, right? Piece of paper, there's two sides. They ain't two sides to the gospel. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
There's only one truth.
That's right.
That's the message of the hour. What do we got, Brother Dick?
80 in the red book.
Another 80 in the red book. I hope that will be a help to you and to anyone else.
There's a blessed time that the coming
is soon. It's here now. I'm enjoying this. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. Right? We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. The prophet said, when you're seeing the Word, you're seeing Jesus. We're not looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking at the coming of the Lord. It's in you.
We shall see the King.
Sister Anna and her father, they're having to come from Guyana. Or where is it? I'm going to get it wrong. Kenya. Okay. Come over here to talk about the coming of the Lord. He was out there a while ago telling Brother Dick he's got a burden on his heart for the people in Africa. Pray, brother. God will get the word to him. Pray, God will send the word to your people. We had a little brother from Brazil came up here. Certain little old sister, she come to interpret. She didn't want nothing what we had. She come to interpret. Well, the brother had to go back to Brazil. Gonna be there a while. But she's here. God will send his children. Don't worry about it. God will get his word to his seed. Be like that man was that time that found it in a book in the bathroom that had been tore apart and half of it used in the wrong way. He found an address in the back of the book. He thought that's the only book there was. He got a hold of spoken word. Got a voice of God recorded, got a hold of him. He wanted to know where he could get the rest of that book. What do you think surprised him when they sent him a whole load? See, this message has got the answer. This message has got the answer to all of our questions. I don't have all the answers, but the message does. So we search the message. We search the message until we find. All hail Emmanuel. All hail Emmanuel. King of you. Our sister wants a prayer cloth. Her father-in-law and mother-in-law. We call them grandma and grandpa. They need God. They're sick. They need healing. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lift our hands with our sister unto you, sending these prayer cloths to grandmother and granddaddy, because they need healing. We ask you to just make it manifest. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Do you believe? I will reign with him. Sing it unto him. All hail King Jesus. All hail. Bright morning star, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him. Do you believe it? You know you're going to reign 1,000 years. You know, 1,000 years won't be nothing but just a start. It's just a start. Then we go to the future home. I thought of something the other day. I was listening to a tape. And I thought, well, I need to correct that because of something I had said on the 70 weeks. Because I said it like this. I said, you find Israel not mentioned after the millennium. You know. See, I was thinking about what Brother Branham, that was my thoughts. I didn't have any thought on the scripture because I didn't know. But I was thinking about the prophet and what he said. You won't find Brother Branham talking about the Jews but up until the millennial reign. You know, if you can find it, come show me. I'd love to because I've never found it. See, I knew I hadn't found it, but I knew the Bible said. The Bible says when you get over there in that future home that there's 12 foundations. And there's 12 gates and things. And they're the tribes of Israel. See? So they're there. They're there in the future home. But my point was, and I still believe it, I can't find where Brother Random took them any further. You know, as far as explaining where they go. He took them to the millennium because, listen, church, the millennial reign is for the Jews. It is not for you and me. We're just a honeymoon. It is for the Jews because it was promised to David that his son would sit on his throne. It won't be Solomon. Because Solomon, he's like all the rest. He had problems. Jesus Christ is the one that was the son of David to be able to sit on the throne. Because he's son of God, son of man, son of David. But what I love about it is you can't go to son of David from here. You got to get the bride on the earth as the son of man. Then you can go to son of David for the millennium. That's why it says that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mystery singular. Then you come over into, what is it? About the son of man. Luke 17:30, in the day when the Son of Man is to be revealed. The Son of Man where? In His bride. Not back here in a corporal body. He's not in a corporal body when He goes through the two witnesses, to them, to Israel. He's only anointing. But in the millennium, He'll be there. And in the millennium, we'll be there. That's why I love that, and I wrote it down where the prophet said in it, He shall be all in all. And he said right here in the millennial reign, He'll be all in all. But in the future home, He'll be all in all. See, He knew how to play scriptures. Think on these things. One more time before we go. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice. They're talking to me about my Father. They're talking to me about my Father. Why? Because we're so close. We're so close. A sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your love and Your grace. We pray that this would be an instructive message to where that we could send it out and let the people maybe be instructed before they do start reading, but that are listening. Father, just help and guide. Lord, let Your love be there. Open their understanding. May the people be encouraged enough to listen to the 70 weeks that we tried to preach in the detail, but to first listen to what the prophet had to say. Lord Jesus, we love You and we thank You. We pray that You would just be with everybody on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. Just let Your love be made manifest in each one. Forgive our sins. Cover us by the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Pray one for another.